1 Peter and chapter 1, you'll find this on page 1217, 1217. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Okay, page 1217. Are we all there? Yep. Starting at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. So, a few minutes, reflections on the fruit of the Spirit during this term, leading up to Advent. We're reflecting on the fruit of the Spirit, and as we did the last couple of weeks, we're going to say together these couple of verses from Galatians 5. Let's read it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Somebody prompted me this week that Audrey Firmin has a great way to remember all nine, don't you, Audrey? Is it you or is it Audrey Richardson? It could be the other. Which one? You can lay claim to this if you think it's a good idea. But the first three, love, joy, peace, single syllables. Okay? So just love, joy, peace. The second three, two syllables. And the third three, three syllables. Okay. Who was it who told me that? Somebody told me. I don't know. Nobody's claiming it. And it was Audrey that was named as the person who came up with this thing. So, who? I don't know. Who's Audrey? So, it's simply love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-controlled. And it doesn't matter if you get it in the wrong order. Plus, the other thing is that this is not an exhaustive list by any means. This is where Peter has written down, he's reflecting. Oh, it's not Peter. I've messed up my readings. The Apostle Paul has written down, you know, as he reflects, okay, for somebody who lives in God, there are all these people in the church to which he was writing in Galatia, all these people who laid claim to this fact. We are in Christ. We are the ones who are the true Christians. And there are others who claim differently. And the Apostle Paul has to reflect, okay, how do we know? What is the evidence for you? What is the evidence for me as I look at you? What is the evidence that somebody is living in Christ? Somebody is living following the way of Jesus. And he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as I've said, and I will say every week probably, bearing fruit is an entirely natural process, the fruit of the Spirit. And I love this idea. Bearing fruit is an entirely natural process. So there's a degree to which none of us can say, look at me, aren't I fantastic? You know, because I've worked really, really hard and I have earned this in some way. It's not about earning it. It's not about standing out above everybody else so that you can claim a prize of any of these attributes and characteristics. The promise is that if we are, as it were, planted well, if we're in good soil and we're open to the sun and the rain, you know, if we're open to God, then fruit will grow. It'll be the inevitable result in my life and your life that we will begin to bear fruit. And the other thing about fruit, it doesn't happen instantaneously, does it? And that's frustrating for some of us. You know, that's why patience is in there. It doesn't happen overnight. It sometimes feels like it takes forever if you're waiting for a crop of fruit to grow. Some fruit are quicker than others and so on. But it is an entirely natural process. But the keys, as I've listed them in these last couple of weeks, have been, it's about living in Jesus. It's about growing up in God. And it's about working out his life. And I thought I'd come up with a picture. And this might work. It may not work. You can tell me. And I might never use it again. Okay? But here we go. So, tree roots. Every tree has an amazing root network. And if you find a healthy tree, the chances are it's really healthy because it's got a fantastic root network. All sorts of mysterious and wonderful things go on and beneath the ground level. But it's not just about the tree being planted in the soil and having a great root network, of course. If I click, we should get something. Do you like that? Just go, oh, wow. Do you want to do that again? Just do that again, because it's so good. Oh, yeah. Sunshine and rain. You see, we need sun. The tree needs sunshine, and it needs rain. And I've said in these last few weeks, if you pick up a tree or a shrub or whatever and just plonk it on the patio, a concrete patio or something, chances are, is it going to grow? Chances are, it's probably not going to grow. It's not going to bear fruit. But as long as the tree is in the soil, the roots, as long as the sun shines, as long as it rains, or it's watered, the chances are fruit will result. I'm not sure this is actually a fruit tree, but you see, it's fallen down already, my great illustration. Okay, so, and the living in Jesus, this is often a hidden thing. You know, this living in Jesus, being rooted in him. And in John 15, particularly, Jesus speaks about being in him, being in him. The Apostle Paul repeats the phrase over and over and over again, being in Christ, being in Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's about having our lives rooted in Jesus. And then we grow up in God. That is, even before we bear fruits, we're growing up. We're becoming more mature as we learn of the way of Jesus and we follow the way of Jesus, so we become more mature in God. And we work out, sometimes that's a struggle, we work out how to live his life. The answers are not straightforward. So that's just something for you to remember, and you can tell me about it. Okay. And this week, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Joy is the focus today. And for this, I've put up the title, Joy, Indescribable, Powerful, Mysterious. I think it's in this reading, inexpressible and glorious joy. Joy is, in a sense, indescribable. Joy perhaps even could be described as elusive. Joy is not an experience that we can say, well, if you do A, B, and C, you will experience joy, because the chances are, if you reflect on those times in your lives where you've experienced joy and you go back and say, well, I'll just do all those things again, you could do it all, and it doesn't guarantee that you will experience joy. And in that way, joy can be elusive. C.S. Lewis, who was a very reluctant convert, and it may be that some of us can be in that position of just being reluctant converts to Jesus Christ. You know, we've thought about it hard, but we're convinced. Almost, we would say, against our better judgment, we know that Jesus is real. And we're called to him, and that was C.S. Lewis. He had debated for many years against Christianity, but then he was surprised, as he wrote, he was surprised by joy. He was surprised by joy, and he wrote a book about it. But even earlier than that, having come to faith as this reluctant convert, he spoke about this elusive joy creeping in and bubbling up within him. And he wasn't sure where it came from. He couldn't get a hold of it, but there it was. And he wrote letters describing this extraordinary joy. And joy is powerful. It is transformative. It is mysterious. And I'm going to just put up four words as pegs as I reflect on joy today. Jesus, love, forgiveness, and serving. Now, I'll begin with Jesus. We should always begin with Jesus. You know, if it's a good sermon, begin with Jesus. Thinking today about joy as a fruit, as something that grows within us. It comes out of us. It is not something that God gives as a gift, although God sometimes will give joy as a gift. It's not there, then suddenly it's there. But we're talking and thinking and reflecting today about joy as fruit, something that grows within us. And we think about Jesus because we are called to bear the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus. And so I begin by speaking about Jesus because our call is to be followers of Jesus, to embed and root ourselves in Jesus, in his life, in his teaching, to reflect upon it, and then begin to do what Jesus commanded us to do. A couple of weeks ago, and I was reminded of this morning, a couple of weeks ago, I encouraged all of us to go away and read the Gospels. Do you remember this? Any of you go and do it? It's all right, that's a rhetorical question. You know. But the focus in our lives, if we are to bear the fruit of the Spirit, if we're to have the joy of bearing the fruit of the Spirit, we begin with Jesus. There are many places where we could try to begin, but we need to begin with Jesus. We go to Jesus and we read of his life and we reflect upon his life. We reflect upon his attitudes, his responses, his relationships. And we pray, Lord, that your attitudes might be my attitudes. Your responses, your relationships might be my responses and my relationships. And then we reflect upon the teaching of Jesus. And we read the teaching of Jesus. And we reflect, what is it that Jesus calls me as a follower of his to do? What is a disciple to do? So we look at the life of Jesus, but then we look at the teaching of Jesus. And we begin to read through the teaching of Jesus. And if we begin the Gospels, reading the Gospels with Matthew's Gospel, very quickly as we read Matthew's Gospel, we come across the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, gives the very well-known parable about the two people who build their houses, one upon rock and one upon sand, and the rain comes down and the waters rise up and the storm comes, and the one who had built their house upon the sand, the foundations are non-existent and it all crashes away, but the one who is built upon the rock, their house stands firm. And Jesus says, this is what it's like. Those who have heard my word and obeyed it. Those who have heard my word and obeyed it. Those who have reflected upon my teaching and have gone, okay, what do I need to do? And they have gone and done it. They are the ones who have built their house upon the rock. And if we're to bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, and if we're to bear the fruit of joy, we begin with Jesus. And we say, this is how we begin to position ourselves to bear the fruit of joy. But there's another reason why we begin with Jesus. Because as it describes in this letter that we read, this passage that we read earlier from 1 Peter, simply to know Jesus is an experience of joy. It's not simply an academic exercise to know Jesus, and it could be, as I've said, as we reflect upon the life and the teaching of Jesus. But it is a relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. And to know Jesus, to know who he is, to know that we have a real relationship with Jesus is a thing of joy. And joy, as C.S. Lewis describes it, creeps in and bubbles up within us. And there is that fruit, experience of joy, because we know Jesus. And yes, it can be, as we seek to follow Jesus, it can be that our lives feel dry. They feel anything but joyful. And yes, life is difficult, and sometimes we're bereft of joy. But that reflection of knowing Jesus, the Saviour of the world, is a thing of joy. So we begin with Jesus. But then we reflect upon love. As we touched on last week, and as I tried to touch on as often as I can, that God has loved us with an everlasting love. To be loved is grounds for great joy. And I trust you know that. That to be loved is grounds for great joy. Now, I am aware it is possible for somebody to love you. It is possible for somebody to love me. And sometimes it's quite difficult to receive that love. Is this resonating with anybody? Sometimes it's very difficult to receive that love. Sometimes we want to be quite independent individuals. And we think, well, I'm the one who's going to do the loving. You know, I'm independent. I'm the resourceful one. I'm okay in myself. And yet God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And as I repeat, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Many times that is repeated and repeated and repeated. That awareness, God loves me. To be loved and to receive that love, to let that love seep into us, is grounds for joy. It may not happen instantaneously, but it's a growing, transformative experience. So to be loved, to know that we're loved, to be loved by another human being, but particularly to know that we're loved by God, is grounds that grows up and bears fruit within us of joy. But it's not just about being loved. To love another person is grounds for great joy. Now, does that resonate? To love another person can be grounds for great joy. It can be grounds for great frustration as well. Perhaps even grounds for great misery at times. But not only to be loved, but to love. Love is transformative as we receive it. But love is transformative not just for the other person, but love is transformative for us as we love. Because to love another person changes you. It moves you out of yourself. It causes you to want to bless another. And that is a thing of great joy. So we begin with Jesus, his life, his teaching, all that he is, because we want to embed ourselves and root ourselves in him. But also then, knowing Jesus, relationship with Jesus. We continue with love as basis for that growing joy, to be loved, but then also to love another is a thing of great joy. And the third word, the third peg, is forgiveness. To experience forgiveness and to know that you're forgiven is grounds for great joy. Yeah? To know that you are forgiven. Now, many of us, no, I won't say many of us. Some of us, maybe I shouldn't even say that. Maybe I should just say me, because I know this is true. I can hear the words. I can hear the words, you're forgiven. I can hear the words that the Bible says, that God forgives me. I am forgiven of every sin. And they can be for me just words. I can analyze them. I can think about them. And I can understand them. Where's the joy in that? Forgiveness, being forgiven, that is grounds for great joy, is when we know we are forgiven and we are set free from shame. When we're set free from the burden of whatever it is that we're being forgiven for. When it's not an easy thing, when it's not a light thing for us, but when we know that we are forgiven and we don't need to bear the burden of whatever has gone before, but we're set free. And we can, you know, sometimes, you know, I just need to do this. You know, just shrug, move your shoulders, do you know? So many of us live like this, don't we? And it's as if we're carrying the burden, not just of what we've done, but the shame of what we've done. And, I know I'm not who I'm supposed to be, and we've kind of given up. But if we know we're forgiven by God, we kind of can lift. We're forgiven. And that is a thing of joy and grounds for great joy. Not only can we speak about forgiveness and receiving forgiveness as grounds for growing joy, but guess what? Forgiving others is also grounds for great joy. Forgiving somebody else can be a difficult process. It calls for sometimes great shifts in our own thinking, great movement in our own attitudes towards somebody else who has harmed us. And we may be motivated to forgive another because we recognize the damage that our anger or our bitterness or whatever it is doing to us. And we think, do you know what? Blow them. I need to forgive because of the mess it's making in my life. And we're motivated to forgive another. But the joy in forgiveness is when the person we forgive knows that they're forgiven and they are free. The joy for us is seeing them set free from whatever it was. And that involves relationship. That involves relationship with that some person in some degree. And that is not always possible. But there is joy in being forgiven and there is joy, grounds for joy in forgiveness. And just quickly, serving. We have all been given gifts. We all have abilities. Every single one of us have gifts and abilities. And I would suggest today that there is great joy in using our gift and serving. And the encouragement to all of us is use your gift, your ability. Earlier we were talking about the blessings that we've been given. Using those to serve and to help others and to be a blessing for others. And I know doing and being given the freedom to serve can be a thing of great joy. Particularly when you step outside your comfort zone and you do whatever it is. And I'm sure we've all had the experience, we'll come away from that, whatever we've done, or we come away at the end of the day and just think, that was really good. Do that again. Do you know, and it just grounds for joy. And it may not happen instantaneously, but it's grounds that in our life we may possibly produce a fruit of joy that passes understanding. But we've rooted ourselves in Jesus. And we have been loved and we love, and we've been forgiven and we forgive, and we use our gifts and we serve. All of these are grounds for the fruit of joy. And my prayer for us today is that as we take this and reflect upon it, and as we read of Jesus, so we might position ourselves to grow the fruit of the Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the free gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for opening our eyes that we might see Jesus. We might see who he is and what he's done. And Father, we pray that you would help and strengthen us, that we might be those who are rooted in Jesus. We might grow up in God, and we might work out his life in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing one song to draw our worship together. And I do encourage you, after we've said the blessing, if there's a particular need you have, a desire for prayer, then